الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله شيخ صالح بن محمد اللحيدان. الله سبحانه وتعالى preserve him and bless him tremendously on our behalf. He said after giving us the salams, praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and sending the salat and the salam on the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said to begin, then responding to the request of our dear brother Hassan and Hussein al-Somali of British descent, I'm going to deliver the following advice to you, asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make the actions of all of us in conformity to the Sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and sincere for his sake, not seeking to be heard, but rather ardently desiring his reward subhanahu wa ta'ala. He said to begin, then we know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala only created the creation for the sole purpose of worshipping him subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he sent the messengers with this message instructing their nations to single out Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sincerely with worship. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promised to reward those that positively respond to the call and the invitation of the prophets and their messengers, alayhim as-salatu wa-salam. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, along these lines, he said in the hadith Qudsi from the messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that the messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Allah, the mighty and majestic, says that I am aghna shurakai an ash-shirk, and I am the one who has ascribed partners that is in greatest, or that is farthest from need of any partnership. Whoever does an action ascribing a partner with me therein, then I have abandoned him in his shirk. And so it is befitting, therefore, for the human being, for the Muslim in particular, and for whoever hears this speech, to think about why he was created. And what is the purpose of his life? Why are they here? Are they here only for their day-to-day actions and their livelihoods and for their wealth? What is the reason that they think that they are here? And do they realize that they were created to worship Allah sincerely and follow the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in that worship? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he sent the messengers with this message to the slaves, with a message that is comprehensive, that was to the thaqalain, the two weighty species and races of the creation, the jinn kind and the mankind. He was Muhammad ibn Abdullah, the Qurashi from Banu Hashim, who was raised in Mecca, in Mecca, near that place about which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, what means that indeed the first house of worship that was set forth for mankind is that which is in Mecca. It is a blessing and a source of guidance for the mankind. Indeed, in it are clear signs and the station of Abraham to the of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam to the end of the verse. And so it is the first house, therefore, that was set forth for the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it is at this place in Mecca that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, Bu'ithu bil hanifiyyati samha. And he, with the religion that is hanifiyya, and he, that is strictly monotheist, that is samha, that is simple and easy to understand and practice. Meaning that it is free of any type of shirk, that a person should ascribe partners in worship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the religion that is devoted, sincere for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so Allah, therefore, is the one that is worshipped, that is farthest of need from any partner. And he is not pleased and does not accept that anyone should be ascribed with him in worship by his slaves. But rather Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala solely intends from his ibad that they are sincere to him. And along these lines, a messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, that whoever does any action that is not in conformity to this affair of eyes, then it is rejected. And so this action must be upon the way of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as the hadith comes in Sahih Bukhari and otherwise. He says, whoever does an action, making it up from himself, and he forging it from himself, not taking the guidance and the example of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam therein, then his action is rejected. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he said, what means that today I have completed for you your religion, and I have finalized my favor upon you, and I am pleased and content, or I have accepted from you Islam is your religion. Right? I'm pleased with you. I am pleased for you with Islam as a religion. So a person is to think, whether they are male or female, to contemplate about what religion they are upon. Are they upon this religion, which is a perfect religion? And if they are, they need to look at whether or not they are falling into shirk with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, ascribing partners with Allah in worship. He said this is an affair that is befitting for all the people to spend time learning about, and this is something that he repeats over and over again, and this tremendous advice, the importance of learning why we worship Allah and how to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so people are in dire need of knowing about this, and they are in dire need of knowing about the principles and the fundamentals of this religion, how a person is to carry out the acts of worship that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is obligated upon him. So he needs to learn, each person needs to learn. And this, without a doubt, this knowledge is the noblest of knowledge absolutely. It is that which the messengers were sent with. Each messenger that was sent, that was mentioned in the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran, they were sent with this tremendous message of a tawheed, of monotheism. And so therefore my advice, my sincere, ardent advice for every Muslim, particularly those that are listening to this advice that are present here, he said, is that they learn how to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala correctly. That they learn about the five daily prayers and how to pray these five daily prayers with their pillars and their obligations, and how to convey them in a manner that is acceptable to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught his nation, and as was witnessed by the multitudes and the thousands who saw the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam pray, as he said, pray as you see me pray. He said, furthermore, I advise you to be adamant and serious and fervent upon guiding the people. As the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said in the land of Khaybar, on the day of Khaybar, in the Jewish land of Khaybar, Ta'ali radiyallahu anhu wa aradahu, he said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will guide a single man through you was better for you than all the red camels. And so a person, he is to learn according to the best of his ability, and he how to be a source of guidance for individuals that he comes in contact with, the males, learning how to and knowing how to and being acquainted with how to give dawah to other males, to other men, and the female is giving dawah to other females. He said, and this is something that is incumbent for him to learn, or is important for him to learn, anyhow, to have along these lines good dealings with the people and proper dealings with the people, to be kind, soft-hearted, to be serious about their guidance. The person, he teaches them that if a person isn't sincere for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then nothing that he has of children, nothing that he has of property in this dunya will be able to benefit him. And when this dunya comes to an end, if he wasn't sincere for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and didn't live his life in accordance to the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then die being free of shirk, then nothing that he did or nothing that he had or possessed will avail him at all. He said, and I advise furthermore that a person begins with himself before anyone else, that he knows the meanings and is familiar with the meanings of the prayers. What is the prayer? He said, the prayer, it is a sulah, it is a connection between the worshipper, the slave, and his Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala, that will lead him to the nobility that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prepared for the believers, the honorable reward of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that a person along with that, and that he is chaste and staying away from that which is unbefitting of him, and that he is, to the best of his ability, a benefit for others. That he is a benefit for others. As a messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said that the most beloved of the creation are those that are most beneficial to them. And he said, and this is the greatest means of a person being able to acquire guidance for himself and others, that he himself is sincere. That he himself is sincere, and that he has his connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through the salah. He said, and that he knows, and that he imparts a message to others, that all blessings that he has and that they have of health, or the freedoms that they enjoy in the land that they live in, or the livelihood that Allah has blessed them with, any or marital life, or any having a government that is fair towards them, even any though they are outside of a Muslim country, that they have a government that treats them fairly, and so on and so forth, that all of these are blessings and favors from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that need to be shown gratitude. And so the person, he continues, is to exert and sacrifice his effort and his time to the best of his ability in guiding those that are around him in this midst that he finds himself in, this environment that he finds himself in, that is a non-Islamic environment. He said, and he is to understand and realize that when he is of a benefit for others, that whatever actions they do according to whatever benefit they got religiously from him, that those actions will be credited to him without taking anything of their reward. He said, so when he finds himself in an environment that is an un-Islamic environment, and he needs to interact with the people just as he would interact with people in a Muslim environment, and he needs to interact with the disbelievers and those that he comes into contact with, whoever they may be, with justice and with truthfulness in his speech and with fulfilling his agreements and his covenants, and he has to stay as far away as he can from lying and deception, because this is from the qualities of the people of hypocrisy, and from betraying his oath and his agreements with them, because this is from the qualities of the munafiqeen, of the hypocrites who feign Islam, who will be in the lowest part of the fire. He said, and when he finds himself in his home with his family, and he continues in this da'wah, he continues in his da'wah, and he invites his family to the good, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he said, what means, and warn your kindred, your near relatives. And so he begins with his wife and his children, and then his family members, and then his friends, ordering the good, forbidding the evil, and inviting them to what is pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He said, and he realizes that the salah itself is the greatest act of worship that the human being can seek nearness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with. And when he persists upon this way, fulfilling the rights of Allah and seeking guidance for the creation, and there is no doubt that such a person, in fulfilling the rights of Allah and the rights of the creation, will be, inshallah, from the people of the paradise. And so he sacrifices his time in learning his religion and teaching his religion to the best of his ability. And he learns the Arabic language, the language of the Quran, the language of the most eloquent of the creation, the messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his nation. He said, and the more he finds himself unfamiliar with the Arabic language, the more he will find certain affairs of his religion that are important, very easy, or very difficult rather, for him. The more he is unaware of the Arabic language, the more he will find important affairs of his religion, such as the adhkar and the salat, recitation of Quran, stuff like that, what is obvious, he'll find it difficult for him. He said, and so along those lines, he is serious and persistent upon reciting Surah Al-Fatiha with itqan, with precision and correctly, in the Arabic language. He said, and if he exerts his effort and he is sincere and genuine in doing so, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will simplify his pursuit for him. He said, along those lines, a person in the day and the night, he has 24 hours. He said, if a person was just to take out of, those 24 hours, a very short period of time to begin with, to start with, as a daily habit and a routine, such as a half an hour to learn what is important of his religion, how to pray correctly, how to make wudu correctly, how to fulfill these acts of worship that are incumbent upon him, then this would be something very easy and simple for him. So my advice for every person is to be fervent in those things and serious about those things that will bring about the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for them. And from those things that was mentioned is what was mentioned in the hadith of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said that I swear by the one in whose hand is my soul that you will not enter the paradise until you believe. And you will not believe until you love one another. Shall I not inform you of an affair that if you were to do, it will cause you to love one another? Spread the salams between one another. He says, so when a person passes by others, then he initiates them with the salam. He initiates any his brothers in Islam with the salams. And they return his salams with similar to what he gave to them or better. And so if he says, salam, assalamu alaykum, they say the same, or they say, wa rahmatullah, or they increase, wa barakatuh. He said, and so when the person is fervent and sincere and genuine in his desire to bring about this love and this brotherhood between the believers, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will ease the affair for him. And so the person is to be adamant and serious in establishing his religion in the most proper fashion. So the person who safeguards establishing his religion within himself and being an example of what Islam is, then the effect of that will be seen upon those that he calls to Islam and those who listen to his da'wah. So the person, for example, in his mannerisms is to be far from khushuna, from abrasiveness in his speech, and he is to be far from using profanity and disgusting or unbecoming speech, and he is to deal with people like a professional doctor. His heart is to be open towards them, and he is to speak to them as one would speak to a sick patient with gentleness and leniency. And he is to be fervent in his da'wah. And when he does this, he will find that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will ease for him a great deal of good. So he stays far away in his speech from lying and from deceptiveness and so on and so forth. And he is not a stubborn and obstinate person in his speech, and he is not harsh with the people. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he said that you are the best nation set forth for mankind. What means you are the best nation set forth for mankind? He said, why? He said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he said, what means that you order with the good and forbid the evil, and you believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so the person is to make those that he is addressing from the mukhatabeen, from the mad'ueen, and those people that are the recipients of the da'wah, feel as though he is not condescending in his tone, as though he does not feel that he is above them. He does not feel that he is exalted above them and that they are beneath him, and so on and so forth. But rather, he speaks to them and he addresses them like a doctor that is trying to cure a person from a fatal illness who is afraid that they will perish if they are not cured. He said, and so he is to teach those that he comes into contact with that all goodness comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that all good behavior is taught to us by way of revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the only one that can ward off that which is harmful of events and occurrences and behaviors and beliefs and so on and so forth is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He said, and so the person, his Islam is not just restricted to being of a benefit to himself and to others even, but rather the goodness of the person, according to his practice of the religion, it even reaches the animals, as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, that pertaining every living thing that you do kindness to, that you enact kindness to, you will get a reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so he is to look at how he can have the best effect upon those that he is calling to Islam. So the Shaykh, he says that the person is to look at how he can have the best effect upon those that he is inviting to this goodness, and to cause as much kindness by way of his da'wah to reach them according to his capacity and his ability. And he is to know that the entirety of the affair is in the hand of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah is the one in control of their guidance. He said, furthermore, you are to be adamant and serious about implementing your faith and actualizing your faith, making your iman a reality in your actions. because Islam doesn't benefit without acting upon it. So a person, he utters a shahadatain, entering into the fold of Islam, believing that nothing has a right to be worshipped but Allah, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is a messenger of Allah. And then he works towards completing his salat and learning his salat and implementing what he knows. And he works towards paying the zakat to those that are deserving of it, from the poor and from those categories, those eight categories that are mentioned by Allah in Surah Al-Bara'ah. Any that are deserving of the zakat that is taken from the wealthy and is given to the less fortunate and the likes. He said when the person does this and he fulfills these three pillars of the shahadatain, any of the two testimonies of faith, and praying his five daily prayers and paying the zakat, then he receives al-ismah and he becomes inviolable. And he becomes inviolable, his blood becomes sacred, and so on and so forth. He said, and so the person, he learns the meaning of the shahada, that nothing has a right to be worshipped other than Allah, and he doesn't limit himself to that, but he learns what it means to follow the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he said in the hadith Qudsi, he said that the slave of mine does not come close to me, does not draw near to me with anything more beloved to me than that which I have obligated upon him. And so he begins with the fara'id. He begins with the obligatory acts. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he said that my slave does not cease drawing near to me with the nawafil, and he with the recommended supererogatory acts until I love him. Until I love him, to the end of the hadith. He said, and these are those acts that, and he have a tremendous reward, but if he was to abandon, he would not be punished for. However, they are not appropriate to abandon at the same time. He said, and so it is upon every Muslim to know the meaning of the shahada, that La ilaha illallah, Muhammad is the messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And I advise everyone who hears this speech of mine to learn how to pray correctly, and then furthermore to learn the adhkar, and the daily forms of remembrance and invocations that are made by the Muslim throughout his night and his day. He said, like for example, the statement of the messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he says that the person who says Subhanallahi wa bihamdihi 100 times, and he will have such and such reward. He said a tremendous reward. He didn't mention exactly what the hadith says. He said, but the person will have a tremendous reward. He said a person will get this tremendous reward for saying the statement that is love to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Subhanallahi wa bihamdihi, Subhanallah al-Azim. He will have this reward for something that takes less than 10 minutes to do. Less than 10 minutes to do. He said there is a tremendous benefit, and these adhkar that is said as a messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned that when the adhan is called, for example, the shaitan flees. As comes an authentic hadith from the messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and this remembrance of Allah brings peace to his heart, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he said, what means, isn't it the remembrance of Allah that brings contentment and peace to the heart? He said, and likewise a person is to increase in sending the salat and the salam upon the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And then he furthermore encourages us to learn and to memorize what is important. He said if a person was to take out just a number of minutes every day to begin with, 10 minutes even, he said, to begin with, he said, to learn that which is pertinent to a salat that he is negligent in concerning his salat, then he will find himself after a very short period of time, after just a few months, having increased substantially. He said, and so the person is to make a plan for himself, and he will find that by the guidance and the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that it will have a tremendous effect upon him, and that he will continuously be increasing. He says, so the person is, as he goes on and he continues in his practice, to increase in his determination, and to increase in the time that he takes out to learn his religion. He said, and I advise every Muslim, in particular, to read Kitab al-Tawheed by the great Imam Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab al-Tamimi, rahmatullahi alayhi, who was from that tremendous tribe, Banu Tamim, about whom the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that they will be the most severe of my nation and fighting against the Antichrist in the end of time. He said, and the person is to be serious upon his worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and to know that even abandoning a single salat intentionally is something that can lead him to destruction and being from the people of the fire. As a messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he informed us that the person who abandons Salatul Asr will have his deeds rendered null and void. So his actions on account of abandoning a single salat can be rendered null and void. He said, and so the person is to be serious about these acts of worship. He said, and going back to Kitab al-Tawheed, in regards to Kitab al-Tawheed, then by studying such a book, a person will save himself, inshallah, from showing off and from those behaviors that are from polytheism and worshipping other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and paganism, and it will save him from hypocrisy and other than that. He said, and so a person should look at his time throughout the week, for example. Every person, he says, has a break throughout the week, a day or two where they are not working. And they should look at the performance in learning and in worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala throughout the week, on the day that they are free, and the day that they have extra time, so on and so forth, and whatever khalal, and whatever deficiency they find in the previous week, then they use their day off as an opportunity to take some time to try to make up for lost time, and they seek the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if they find that they are at a sufficient or any pleasing level of practice, learning and worship and so on and so forth, they don't feel that they were negligent in their worship, then they praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for his guidance. And they realize that this is a favor from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that it is not a favor from them to anyone. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, but rather it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala yamunu alaykum and hadakum lil iman, and he who conferred a weighty favor upon you and guiding you to iman if you are truly believers. And so the person, he learns that which is connected to the ruku' and to the sujood, and to raising from the ruku' and raising from the sujood, of the different statements, the different adhkar that he says throughout the motions in his salat, and how to render these motions correctly. He said, and when he finds himself serious in doing so, then he will find the effect of that. He said, and likewise, he is to train himself to be truthful in his speech. As a messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said that indeed the man, when he is truthful and he tries to the best of his ability to be truthful, that he will find himself ridden with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala amongst the truthful. So the person, he learns the adhkar of the morning and the evening. He learns the adhkar that I said after the salawat. He learns the adhkar that I said leaving his home and entering the home, entering the masjid likewise, and leaving the masjid, what is to be said, what he says when completing his wudu, and everything else that has come to us from the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, from those forms of remembrance that show us or that remind us of the greatness and perfection of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He says, so the person, he said, and I'll suffice myself with what has been stated here. He said, otherwise, any discussion about the likes of these affairs is something that takes a great deal of time, and I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make I and you from the people of sincerity, and to make us from those that are serious about guiding other people, and to make us from those that are gentle in our interactions with them. As a messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said that gentleness is not found within a thing except that it beautifies it, and is not removed or stripped from a thing except that it renders it hideous. And I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give honor and strength to Islam and to the Muslims, and to remove the calamity from the people of Islam and the lands of Islam, and to grant tawbah, to grant his repentance, and to accept the repentance rather of those that have sinned, and to protect us from fitna, to protect us from trials and tribulations, and to rescue the lands of Islam that have been tried severely in these times. He said, like Asham and Libya and Iraq, and other than that, from the lands of Islam that have been afflicted with the entrance and introduction of a great deal of evil and affliction in these times. And I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to guide them to that which is pleasing to him concerning their religion, and returning back to their religion in a beautiful fashion, and to abstaining from shirk and all that is displeasing to him subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I remind you to know with certain knowledge that all the blessings that we encounter are from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they are innumerable and uncountable. And that whatever afflicts a person of hardship, that it is likewise by the decree of Allah, by the qadr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to send constant relief to the people of Islam and the lands of Islam and outside of them, and to open up the hearts of the creation for those who call to the good, and to write a tremendous reward for them. And I remind you that the reward of those that are guided by your efforts is credited to you without decreasing anything from their rewards. And I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to guide or to ease for us in this land of the blessed kingdom of Saudi Arabia, and to ease for us the affair of safety and stability that we are enjoying, and to guide the rulers of the Muslims in this land in particular to justice and to kindness towards the creation. And he said, along these lines, I remind the Muslims of the statement of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that it is not permissible for a person to give great efforts in traveling to any place, meaning for the sake of worship, except to three places. Meaning, as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, my masjid, meaning the masjid of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in Medina, and the masjid al-Haram and the masjid al-Aqsa. And so these are places that are sought by the Muslims and pursued by the Muslims for the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I ask Allah to guide the rulers of the Muslims in easing this affair for them. He said, and I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to guide the Muslims who come to give success to the Muslims who are coming from their lands for the Hajj and for the Umrah, and to guide the rulers of the Muslims in spreading justice to the land and kindness to the creation, particularly that which is connected to inviting the creation to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and teaching them their religion. And I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to have mercy upon our ancestors and our fathers from the Muslims, our parents from the Muslims that have died upon Islam. And this is the conclusion of his tremendous advice. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala yajazihi anna khayr al-jaza, reward us on our behalf of the tremendous reward for what we heard, and make us of those yastami'una al-qawla fayattabi'una ahsana. And then there was a question that was asked by our brother Hassan Somali, may Allah preserve him, pertaining any those that neglect the Islamic education of their children. Those that neglect the Islamic education of the children, informing the Shaykh that there is an Islamic school here, and we see from some of the people that they are negligent pertaining the Islamic education of their children. The Shaykh, he gave a short but beautiful answer, reminding us of the statement of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that there is no person who was born except that he is born upon the natural inclination to the truth of fitrah, and then because of his parents he is changed into a Jew or a Christian or a fire worshipper or the likes. He said this comes about by the negligence of the parents. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, all of you are a shepherd and responsible for your flock. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned the leader of the nation, and he mentioned the man being a shepherd in his home and the woman being a shepherdess in her home, and all of you are shepherds and responsible for your flock. He said, and so each of us is to think about this affair. How are we going to answer Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who knows everything about us, who knows all that we say and all that we do and all that we are thinking and all that we will think before we think it, he said. How are you going to answer Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala pertaining our negligence of this great favor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon us and giving us these children? When the Messenger of Allah, when Allah ordered his Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, wa andhir ashiratakal aqrabin, and warn your family members, your kinsfolk, those that are close to you, he said the person who abandons his child and neglects his child as regards their education and their upbringing, then he will be questioned and interrogated by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this regard. And when the child grows up in a faith-based education and a faith-based upbringing, then this will benefit him tremendously in the future and bringing about great good for him and protecting him from great evil. He says, so it is upon the man in particular to have husnul ri'ayah, and to safeguard his children and be a good shepherd towards his flock, and he had to know that this is likewise the obligation upon the woman in the home. And for example, when the child reaches the age of 7, he is to be ordered with the salat. And he reaches the age of 10, then he is to be struck if he is not praying. And he with the striking that is, that does not wound him or does not harm him significantly, or does not any cause pain to him rather. He said, and so the person, if he after the age of bulugh, and if he after the age of puberty is still not praying, then the order of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the ruling of Allah pertaining to religion, is applied upon him. He said, and so the person's dhurriyyah are a blessing from Allah, his offspring are a blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they are from the beauty of the life of this world. And a person is not to interact and respond to the blessing and the beauty that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him, except in the best of fashion, in the most beautiful of ways. He says, so it is mandatory upon every shepherd that is responsible for the children of the Muslims, whether they be the father of those children or the elder brother of those children, or whoever has the ability to contribute to make sure that they are raised with an Islamic upbringing, especially in these times, he said, when the temptations to evil and the devices that lead to evil and destruction are plentiful and they have overwhelmed the Muslims in these times. And we remind you that whoever fears Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make a way out for him from every difficulty and hardship. هذا وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.